There are many people, if you read various people who have issues with Christianity, many people who claim that the Bible contradicts itself. Maybe you've read this. And among those people who say that the Bible contradicts itself, a lot of times they're people who point to our very passage this morning from James 2. They say, look at James 2 and what James has to say about works, and let's look at Romans 4 and what Paul has to say about justification and faith. And they say, look, James and Paul disagreed. And I think there are still in the church those who try and take sides between Paul and James. You may have been a part of or heard messages from churches who say, you know, as long as you just believe that God exists and believe that Jesus died on the cross, you're going to heaven and it's all good. Just go on. That's all that matters. That's the only message you hear every week. Just got to believe in God and you're going to heaven. And then you have churches who say, oh, we don't do that all that theology. We don't do all that. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe at all, as long as you just do the right thing, as long as you do good things. That's what it's all about. And a lot of times you'll have the first group who claims Paul and the second group who claims James. Here's the problem that I have with kind of taking those sides. On one hand, I can't really imagine Paul saying, just mentally believe that God exists and Jesus is Lord, and then keep living like you always lived. I can't imagine Paul saying that. And I also can't imagine James saying, oh, just do good things. It doesn't really matter whether or not you believe in God or Jesus. I can't imagine James saying that either. I actually don't think that Paul and James are contradicting or disagreeing with one another. I don't even think they're talking to one another. They did talk to one another, but I think actually when Paul is writing Romans 4, he's talking to a group who has taken the James side and kind of twisted James's words into something that James never said. And I think when James writes James 2, he's talking to folks who have taken Paul and taken the Paul side and twisted Paul's words into something that Paul never said. But in either case, whenever we enter into this debate about faith or and works, we're asking the wrong question. The two sides, and we included oftentimes, are asking the wrong question. And the question that we're asking is, what's the least I can do and get away with it? Can I have faith without works? Can I get away with faith without works? Or can I get away with works without having to really believe in God or anything? What's the least I can do and get away with it? And I think both of the solutions, the faith side and the works side, really avoid God. On one hand, our faith is really just in certain principles or ideas, and on the other hand, we're just doing good things. We don't have to deal with God at all. We run into trouble, James says, when we dissect faith and works. And we're especially prone to this. Obviously, it was going on way back in James's day in the early church, but I think especially on this side of the Enlightenment, you know, the 15 and 16 and 1700s, and science just blossomed, and a lot of good came out of it. But really, the approach of science in the Enlightenment and way beyond that was to separate and dissect. You know, you probably did this in science class. You would kind of, if you had a frog or a worm, I think we did worms, we would dissect it, and we would take each part separately and look at it and try and figure it all out and take atoms and try and separate electrons and the nucleus out of an atom. And all, this is how we do science. And that's a problem when it comes to living things, because what has to happen for you to dissect an animal? They have to be dead, right? James says you cannot dissect and separate and study on its own faith or works. Here's what happens. By itself, he says, faith is useless. It is of no benefit. And he tells a story to prove this. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? Honestly, what good is that? That's useless. That's faith that doesn't benefit anyone, right? Well, I believe in God. Okay, well, I'm still naked and I don't have anything to eat. It doesn't benefit anyone. By itself, James says, faith is not just useless, it's dead. By itself, if it has no works, faith is dead. And he gives us an image to show us this. He says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, or breath, so faith without works is dead. Faith may have this corpse of beliefs and ideas and what God is like and this or that, but it's a corpse. There's no blood pumping through the veins. There's no breath coming in and out of the lungs. There's nothing vital or living about this faith if it doesn't have works. And James says then, by itself, faith is neutral. It's not good or bad. And he gives us a little bit of a reality check in verse 19 on this. Listen to this verse. This is powerful. He says, you believe, or you have faith, believe and faith are the same word in the Greek. You believe that God is one. You believe in God. You believe God exists. You do well. And then he says, you're just as good as a demon. He says, even demons believe in God, right? Think about that. They know God exists. They believe that God exists. So if you believe that God exists, you're right up there with the demons. He says, that's not what it's about. Faith, the kind of faith we're talking about in the scriptures, it's not about just believing in the existence of God, that there's some God. It's about more than that. Something different. He says, faith and works cannot survive without the other. See, I don't know how scientific y'all are or how much you read up on science, but science has changed in a lot of ways. Scientists now are seeing that really you can't really understand our world that well by trying to separate everything and dissect it and study it on its own. Actually, scientists are finding that existence happens in connection with everything else. You can't study an electron just on itself, because when you take it out of its context, it changes. It's something totally different. You have to see an electron within the community, if you will, of the atom. We can only truly understand how the world works when we see things in their context. We don't just discover who we are by going off on a mountain. We understand who we are by seeing how we relate and interact in community. So it's the Enlightenment science in us that wants to dissect and separate faith and works. And James says, as long as you separate them, you're only studying and dissecting dead objects. You're not really seeing how they function, how they live. They live together. And so we have to re-examine the relationship between faith and works. It's not an or a versus relationship. It's not faith or works. It's not faith versus works. But I don't even think it's an and or a plus relationship. I don't think it's faith and works or faith plus works. I think what James is saying, it's a faith that works. a faith that works. It's a living, working kind of faith. It's not two separate things. It's one thing that does something else. Martin Luther was no fan of James, by the way. But Martin Luther said it this way. He says, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone." The kind of faith we're talking about is a faith that produces good works. You see, James doesn't even say faith and works. He says, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith." That's not an and relationship. That's saying the kind of faith that I have does something. It works. It's kind of like saying, you know, I either want the brain or thinking. Or the brain and thinking. That doesn't even make sense. We want a brain that thinks. Right? Or to say that, you know, I want to look at a plum or sweetness. Or a plum. No, you want a plum that is sweet. It's a characteristic of the plum. The kind of faith the Bible is talking about is the faith that is characterized by good works. And James tells two stories of faith that works. The first story he tells is of Abraham. Now, James is not saying that Abraham worked his way into God's graces. Abraham didn't do anything for God to choose him. And that's what Paul is saying. But when the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God, and that was the right way, that was righteousness, we know from Abraham's story that his faith actually did something. When God said, "Go into a land that you don't even know where I'm sending you yet," Abraham went. He trusted God, and it showed. And when God said, "Sacrifice your son, Isaac, the son you love," he was about to do it. And then he trusted God again to not do it. So James says, Abraham believed, and we know he believed because he did what God said to do. He didn't just believe in God's existence, he trusted in God's words. He gives another story. You might not be as familiar with Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute in Canaan, the land of Canaan, as the Israelites were coming in, and Israel sent spies to see, you know, how do we do this? How do we get into this land? And Rahab welcomed in the spies of Israel and helped them because she not just believed that God existed, but because she trusted that Yahweh was the true God. She put her life on the line because of her faith and was received into God's covenant community. Jesus, you'll notice, didn't ask Peter or James or John or any of the other disciples whether they believed in God. "Do you believe that God exists?" He said, "Follow me." That was their act of faith. See, faith is not an intellectual belief in an idea. That's one way we use the word faith, but that's not the kind of faith God is calling us to. Faith is life-changing, is life-risking trust in God. Friends, to believe in God, but to believe that God exists, puts us right up there with the demons. We've got that going for us. But faith is not just an idea. Faith is a lived trust in a God who creates and who calls and who resurrects and renews. If we believe that God's love compelled him to come and to be with us in Jesus, then we will be with those who need to know God's love, and not just sit with those who already know. If we believe that God swallowed his right to judge us for our sins and forgive us, then we will swallow whatever right we have to judge others and learn to forgive. If we believe that God has good news for the world, then we will share the story of Jesus and his good news with the world. If we believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, then we will go to Africa or invite a neighbor over for dinner that we don't know, or read with Shoreland students at Shoreland Elementary who are already falling behind in their reading, or listen to a lady without a home tell us her story at Tent City, or go to counseling so my marriage can reflect the love between Christ and his bride, the church, or fan the flame of some passion or gift that God has ignited in my heart so that I can be God's hands and feet in the world. It's not the same. Faith doesn't look the same. The works that faith produces don't look the same for everyone. But if we trust God, we will find what God has enabled us to do in this moment and called us to do in this moment. And we will do it because we trust God, because we have faith. And so we must examine our lives, friends. Are we claiming faith in God with just words? Or are we showing our faith in God by our works? Are we asking, what's the least I have to do and still call myself a Christian? Or are we asking, how can I live into the fullness of God's gift? It's not about faith or works. It's not about faith and works. It is about a faith that works to bring God's blessing and love to the world. Let's pray. Almighty God, help us to take this word and hear it as a word from a God who is filled with grace. For God, we know that we don't always do it right or perfectly or even well. We know that there are times where we just say the words and don't do it. But we also know that you are calling us to more, and so help us. In the midst of your grace, in the midst of your mercy and forgiveness, also send us your Spirit to compel us to have a faith that benefits the world, to have a faith that is alive, to have a faith that is beyond just our minds, a faith that can be seen and how we live and the things that we do. May we be known as disciples and a church, not as just people who claimed to be Christians, but by people who lived in the way of Christ. Even amidst all our stumblings, who got back up, who were lifted back up and walked the path. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, who shows us the way and who lives inside of us that we might follow it. Amen.